From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Peña with your state and local news update. The Juneau Assembly on Monday will consider declaring a local disaster due to damage from last week's record rainstorm. Katie Kester directs Juneau's Engineering and Public Works Department. She says the rare storm likely caused hundreds of thousands of dollars in damage to city infrastructure. That includes stormwater basins, the Twin Lakes Park, and streets all over Juneau.
We are concerned that the forecast for snow in the near future is going to complicate our timeline and our ability to clean things up.
The scale of damage to private property and the economy is likely much higher. The storm cut off a pipe that runs fresh water from AELNP's Salmon Creek Dam to the salmon hatchery Douglas Island Pink and Chum Inc. A lot of baby fish were destroyed.
Probably the biggest impact on this for our regional economy is the impact to the hatchery. Right now they're trucking water in to be able to maintain those fry alive and working on some contingency plans there. But you know, that is a significant amount of stock for our entire region, both commercial and sport fishing.
Slides directly damaged some homes and properties while others got swamped. Mandy Cole is executive director of the domestic abuse shelter AWARE. She says her greatest concern after a nearby mudslide is the stability of the slope the shelter sits on and the damaged parking lot.
This is not an event that we can kind of comfortably absorb. Ultimately, my hope is if it's very costly, that there will be other sources that can help us out.
She thinks AWARE will be named in Juneau's disaster declaration. If Juneau officials do declare it a local disaster, it adds to the chorus calling for a federal disaster declaration. Officials in Gustavus and hard-hit Haines have declared local disasters, and Governor Mike Dunleavy declared a disaster on Saturday for most of Southeast Alaska. A disaster declaration from President Donald Trump would open up federal emergency funding for the recovery. In other news, for more than a year, Juneau teens in need of temporary shelter have had nowhere to go. Now a property that served that purpose for decades may fill the need again, but getting it back up and running is a complicated process. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more.
Local housing providers say right now, finding a safe place for homeless, at-risk, and runaway youth to stay should be a priority.
There is no shelter for kids at the moment. You know, there's a dozen kids at least that we could probably count who right now need somewhere to go.
Gus Marks works for Juneau Youth Services. That's the organization that used to operate an emergency shelter at a city-owned property in the Mendenhall Valley. He says the Hurlock Avenue facility isn't in perfect condition, but it has everything it needs to open up quickly.
And there's nowhere else I can think of in town that at least immediately could be used to house kids for, and again, this is temporary. This is just to get kids back on their feet, hopefully back home, back to someplace safe.
The Hurlock facility was Juneau's emergency shelter for homeless and at-risk youth for decades. But after Juneau Youth Services relocated the shelter in 2017, it later lost federal funding and had to close it down last year. Jordan Nigro manages the city-owned Zach Gordon Youth Center.
This issue has been pretty significantly exacerbated by the pandemic. So average year, there's around 125 homeless youth annually, and about 50% of those youth in the Juneau School District are teens.
Nigro presented a project proposal to assembly members on Monday. She says teen homelessness is usually less visible because they tend to couch surf with friends. But the pandemic is making that harder, along with so many other things.
Their need is so high that they're seeking us out and finding us, and so we're just seeing a lot more kids in need lately.
So now, with a pressing need for a youth shelter and an empty building practically ready to go, Tlingit-Haida Regional Housing Authority and Zach Gordon Youth Center have stepped forward with a plan. Under the proposal, the Housing Authority would basically act as landlord. Zach Gordon would oversee programming and staffing. They're proposing emergency housing for about a dozen youth ages 10 to 20 and an annual operating budget of $600,000. They've got state and federal grants and local contributions to help cover most of that, but they'd need about $120,000 in annual funding from the city. And the building will need a new roof in the next few years. And here's where the process gets a little complicated. The city already sold that property in 2018, and they did it under pretty favorable terms, on the condition that the company that bought it turn it into senior assisted living. That's another major need Juno has. But that didn't work out for a few reasons, with the pandemic and a nearby competing assisted living project among them. Now, the assembly would need to allow the city manager to take the property back from local developers, Alaska Legacy Partners. Then, the assembly has to allow the city to lease it for a youth shelter once again. Alaska Legacy Partners co-founder Garrett Schoenberger says they'd be glad to see the property serve a need in Juneau, even though their plans didn't work out.
You know, we're not looking to make a profit on this. We're just looking to recoup some of our costs. And we had found, you know, with Clinkett and Haida and Zach Gordon and the youth homeless facility, it was a great use that felt like that was a win-win for us to be able to hand over the keys to a new use that's going to be a community benefit.
Several community members also testified at the meeting this week. Some encouraged the assembly to approve the proposal, and others raised concerns about the lack of neighborhood engagement so far. The assembly will hold public hearings on the proposal at next Monday's meeting. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
There were rumors going around Juneau yesterday that Donald Trump Jr. was in town for a hunting trip. While the guide leading that hunt could not confirm where Trump was yesterday, he did say that the trip is still going forward. Keegan McCarthy owns Coastal Alaska Adventures, a business that guides visitors on yacht-based hunts. Back in February, he auctioned off an opportunity to join Trump and his son on a week-long hunt in southeast Alaska. The chance to join Trump sold for $150,000. McCarthy says they still intend to go on the trip, but the weather in the region is hindering their plans.
Well, so far, because of the weather, we're just on hold right now. So we're going to be kind of waiting to see what happens here. Southeast has been getting hit pretty hard, so.
For security reasons, McCarthy didn't say if Trump would be waiting it out in Juneau or when exactly they would set out on their journey, but he said he already met one of his original goals. McCarthy said the money raised through the auction went toward two programs centered on wildlife conservation and education, the American Wilderness Leadership School, and another initiative he's working out the details for. McCarthy also said he will still use the hunt as an opportunity to teach people about the Tongass National Forest, which the Trump administration lifted protections for in October.
One of the importance of this trip is to really, I mean, I don't think it'll be as critical now that we may see a change in, you know, the president, a new president, but we're still trying to educate the administration on the importance of the Tongass National Forest and do whatever we can to help keep the roadless rule intact, even though it may be too late, but we'll find out.
Trump identifies as a sportsman and has hunted and fished in Alaska. He made waves earlier this year when he tweeted his opposition to the development of the Pebble Mine in Bristol Bay. His father's administration removed a block on the mine that was there from the Obama administration. And some good news. Juneau officials expect to get almost 1,000 doses of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine as early as next week. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
Juneau Emergency Operations Planning Chief Robert Barr says this first batch will be prioritized according to a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention plan.
And that first phase includes healthcare workers, police officers, firefighters, and other emergency and first responders, as well as long-term care facility residents.
Barr says people in those categories can expect to hear from health officials about getting vaccinated. He says it's unlikely there will be enough in the initial shipment for all of Juneau's entire first phase.
Probably the biggest thing it depends on is who chooses to receive the vaccine during the first phase.
It won't be required.
Although we highly encourage it, and the safety data is really solid.
Barr says regular shipments of the vaccine are expected to keep coming every week or two. Moderna's vaccine may be in the mix later on. The next vaccination phase covers many more people, including essential workers, workers that interact with the public a lot, people aged 65 and up, and people with other health risk factors. Barr also shared updates on work to set up a COVID-19 testing lab at Bartlett Regional Hospital. He says the machinery should arrive next week. It's expected to take several weeks to install, train lab staff on its operation, and run trials to make sure that it works. He thinks it will be up and running by the end of January.
Again, little wiggle room either way, but likely by the end of January, and we will start with our symptomatic tests, and then as our capacity grows, expand out from there.
The new lab is expected to cut the turnaround time for results from about 2 days to the same day, could also help other Southeast Alaska communities with their testing needs. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
And this is KTOO News. I'm Pablo Arauz Peña.